Hey y'all, welcome to the Sweet Tea and Jesus podcast, hosted by Kelsey Hamrick and Tara McAdam. We are two sisters who desire to grow in love for Jesus. You are not alone, and we want to come alongside you with challenges, laughter, questions, prayers, and the eternal hope of the gospel. Whether you're on your way to work, changing your 10th dirty diaper today, or drinking a glass of sweet tea, we pray you are strengthened and filled with joy from these biblical truths today. Welcome back to the Sweet Tea and Jesus podcast. Tara, how was your weekend?
This weekend was so good in that it was rainy and kind of cold the whole time. So our family was pretty much inside. Mm-hmm. And because of that, we were able to like build a big fort out of the kitchen chairs and every blanket in the house. And we ended up having a massive family Nerf gun fight. So I'm still finding Nerf bullets all over my house. But
oh, gotta love that.
All fun things.
Don't let Rosie loose. That's her vacuum. That's what they call their Roombas. They're Rosie. Don't let Rosie loose because, you know, she'll suck one of them up.
She would. She's caught a few army men in her day.
That's so funny.
But yeah. So what about you? How was your weekend?
It was good. We went and celebrated Colby's dad's birthday and had a big get together. Lots of singing and music and kids running around having a good time. So it was really fun. And a good weekend with family.
Well, good.
Okay, so today our topic is really all about marriage, and I plan to get personal and vulnerable with y'all today in hopes that this helps one of you who felt the way that I did. Colby and I talked about all of this, and he read over things I wanted to say, and he said he was comfortable with me sharing what I plan to share today. So Colby and I celebrated 5 years of marriage last August, and we hit a point where our differences in communication styles really affected us. We were getting along, like no screaming matches or anything, but we were just acting more like roommates. We would have discussions to talk about things we wanted to change, but nothing was really changing. Our family had been hit with sickness over and over, and we were traveling a lot and had a lot of big financial hits, and he was stressed and I was stressed. And one day I hit my breaking point. I broke down in angry tears, and I said some things that were hurtful. And at one point I just said, this just isn't the marriage that I thought I would have, and I'm just not sure I have the energy to keep trying. And it was such a hard conversation, and the conversation was over the phone. And when we got off the phone, I immediately called Tara to ask for her prayers and her advice. And I remember just saying, I feel like I've done all I can do, so now all I can do is pray and wait for the Lord to change my heart and change Colby's heart.
Mm-hmm. I remember that day. And I think, to be honest, Kelsey, like, you're not alone. Every marriage at some point or another, I feel like you go through that. We feel like roommate day. You know, you've got the honeymoon phase, obviously, right in the beginning. It's a sweet spot. And then you kind of get comfortable and life continues on and busyness, you know, creeps in. And yeah, I mean, Jeremy and I celebrated 10 years of marriage this past year. So we're only just a few steps ahead of you. And there's definitely been multiple times in our marriage where we've had seasons of dryness, discontentment, miscommunication for sure, unmet expectations, unfair expectations, and misplaced value in each other, a lack of adoration for each other. And yeah, the roommate thing, definitely we have felt more like roommate than lovers many times throughout the last 10 years.
Right.
And I just think, you know, we have a tendency as humans to switch our gaze elsewhere, just like Eve. We may switch our gaze to our career, our children, our finances, our home. I mean, you name it. But the Bible is clear, and it teaches that behind our relationship with God, the second most important relationship is our relationship with our spouse, our husband.
Yeah, for sure. And learning how to navigate marriage didn't come naturally for me. So during the biggest point of our struggle that we had faced in marriage, Colby and I decided to wait over a week. It was actually 11 days to be exact. before we had another conversation. And in that time, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and the Lord answered my prayers in more ways than one. He encouraged me through my sister, and he encouraged me through a close friend who had gone through a similar thing year five of her marriage as well. And then this reel popped up on Instagram that talked about how our marriages sanctify us. And that one really spoke to my heart. And then the next Sunday at church, instead of Sunday school, they had scheduled for a couple to speak about marriage to our small groups. And every word they said felt like they were just speaking directly to Colby and I. The struggles they shared sounded so similar to what we were going through. And at the end, we were asked to rate our marriage individually and to not share it with one another. And it was really eye-opening to how so many small things over time can turn into something that seems so big that it feels like there's no way out. And one thing that the husband had shared that really stuck with me was that Satan is always trying to destroy two institutions, the church and marriage. And I thought that was a really powerful statement.
That's so true. And I mean, that's what I call a divine appointment right
Yeah.
there. God knew exactly what you both needed to hear through the testimony of the saints in the church who had been married for decades, sharing their hardship with your class. I mean, that I just think that is so beautiful. I'm so thankful that they were able to come and that the Lord used their testimony to speak to both of you and encourage both of you. But I definitely believe that last statement that you said is so true. Satan wants to destroy the church and marriage because both are pictures of the gospel. Both are representations of our relationship with him. You know, in the same way that the church is Jesus's bride, a wife is a husband's bride.
Right. And speaking of representing the gospel, you know, as we were going through this tough patch, I was studying Ephesians, and it just so happened that I read a passage that just spoke directly to me about what I was struggling with. As I was trying to articulate and communicate with my partner, I had an awful attitude. I had waited to speak up until I was angry, and I've learned that my tone can do more damage than anything that I could say. And in
That's so true.
Ephesians, Paul says that we need to say things in a way that others can receive it. And if we can't do that, then we don't need to say it. And that's really hard for me. I mean, Tara, you know, like anyone who knows me knows, I've always been the person who just says what I think. You know, I've always considered myself pretty empathetic towards people. Even through honesty, I feel like I try to be loving, I try to be kind about it. And the older I've gotten, more loving and more kind I feel like I've been about it. But I've learned I really do need to listen more than I speak because I've said things often to just get them off my chest, to make myself feel better. But if I can't say it in a way that the other person can receive it, then there's really no point in me saying it at all. You know, there are some things that we do just need to keep to ourselves. And I struggle with that, especially in marriage, because I think the desire for honesty and openness and communication about where we are both at is really important. But I do also have to question myself and say, okay, is this coming from a place of wanting to make him feel loved and respected in our marriage? Or is it coming from a place of my own frustrations and bitterness? And it's me wanting to make him feel as bad as he's made me feel, you know, if that makes sense.
Right. And it does. And I think this is a good place, you know, in this episode to insert that I do believe that that's the key word there. Biblical marriage counseling is something that I know can really help a marriage that is struggling with anything. It could be communication. It could be that you feel like you both have lost connection. It could be that one is struggling with a situation and you just need someone to be the referee, but also have a gospel lens as they help you both navigate something. I have many couples who Jeremy and I are friends with who have gone through marriage counseling, biblical marriage counseling, all for different reasons. And all the couples say how much they just truly benefited from it, how much they learned about each other. You know, God revealed things that they would not have been able to sort out on their own. And every couple has shared that God brought them closer than ever before. Jeremy and I personally have not gone through marriage counseling, but we are totally both willing to if we ever get into a place where we feel like we, you know, need that and that others in our life that we trust suggest that, hey, I really think that this would be beneficial for you guys, you know, at this time. And like, like we would jump on that. But I do know that this is tough if like one spouse is willing to do counseling and the other is not. But there's no shame in having a third party, a third person who is trained, who knows God's word, and who is willing to be on both of your side for the sake of upholding the covenant made in marriage. And they help you navigate through difficult things with love and in confidence. If your church has a biblical counseling ministry, I highly suggest that you look into what that looks like if you feel that you and your spouse just need that third party to help you both while maintaining also the perspective of the gospel.
Yeah, and I know our church offers it, and
Yeah,
many in
ours
the
does too.
Huntsville. Yeah, there's many in the Huntsville area that do. And I know there's a couple churches that actually sponsor counseling for some of their members at a center for that's in Huntsville. So I want to go back and talk more in depth about God using our marriages to sanctify us, because our spouses are not perfect, just like we are not perfect. And loving your husband or your wife, regardless of what they reciprocate to you, is one of the most selfless things that we can do. Our marriages truly teach us about unconditional love, but so often in our marriages, it is so conditional.
Oh yeah, we got that. Do not keep a record of wrongs. Boy, we got that tally. We tally and we're like, he took the trash out. Oh wait, oh he did not do the dishes on this day, this day, and this day. Like we always have a record going.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think about how different it is with my parents and kids, because it's a lot easier to unconditionally love them because God chose them for us, and it's just this relationship that you don't necessarily have to choose every day. But in our marriages, we choose that person. We get to know them really well and their likes and their dislikes and their love languages, and we choose them anyway, regardless of how many differences there are between the two of you. That's the person that you chose. And even as a Christian and feeling as though divorce is not going to be an option, the reality is Satan works to destroy marriages.
He
And I
does.
believe that you have to work at it every day and put in the effort every day in order for it to be a good and a fruitful marriage. A fruitful marriage and a good marriage is so important for your walk with God. And it's so important for your kids to see that. It's important for those around you to see that, because like you said, marriage is a reflection between of the love between Jesus and the church. And that's saying a lot, because Jesus gave up his life for the church. He gave up everything. So we know the Bible calls us to lay down our desires every single day, to give up what we want in order to serve him, to serve those around us. Marriage is the best example of that, because it's not about what I want. It's not about what he's doing for me. It's not about what he's saying or what he's not saying. It's not about him planning a really nice date. It's not about all the intimacy that we have. It's not about who takes out the trash more, who does more dishes or does more laundry or does more for the kids. It's about me looking at him with no conditions and saying, it doesn't matter the things that he has done for me. I'm going to love him anyway, the way that Christ loved the church. I'm going to give up the excuses that I have in my mind to not do things for him. I'm going to let go of my desires and my expectations for our marriage. And I'm not going to make an effort to do those things for him just because I'm hoping he'll do it back. I'm going to choose to serve my husband because I love him. I'm going to choose to serve and love my husband because I vowed to God to do so. Ephesians 5, 31 through 33 says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband.
Oh man, I think that everything that you just said is so raw and so true. And I do think that God uses marriage to sanctify us. I think that He uses our careers to sanctify us. I think that He uses parenthood, Lord help me, uses parenthood to sanctify us. But I think that all of that is in the pursuit of us reflecting Christ. All of that, His perfect will for our lives is our sanctification. And He is going to prune, He is going to trim, He is going to mold, He is going to sift, He is going to heat up any area that we need to better look like Him. And what perfect, mix of catastrophe is there than you get a man and a woman who vow to love each other and live in the same house when they are totally opposite in every way, and go, all right, I'm gonna love you because I told God that I would love love you and I do love you, but it's hard. It is so hard. And I know Jeremy and I did this study right when we first got married at our church in Auburn. And it was based on the book we've talked about a lot, you know, the Love and Respect book. And we talk about that. And a lot of times when Jeremy and I get in these ruts, which we had one in the fall. So this past fall, we had a rut and it was a lot of, I was feeling very unloved. And because I was feeling unloved, I started acting and speaking and having that tone that we talked about with disrespect. And because Jeremy felt disrespected and it did not, was not feeling that from me, then he would in turn, you know, it was like the crazy cycle. I was feeling unloved. He was feeling disrespected. And so finally, when we had the, you know, everything gets swept under the rug till the rug is hitting the roof. And we finally had that, you know, we're going to talk about this. And tears were shed and, you know, hearts are heavy. And I think we both communicated in a respectful way, but we had to let it all out and then come back and revisit that multiple times. But I think that ultimately, like, he used that to show me, God used that to show me areas where I was looking to fix Jeremy versus saying, God, how can you fix my heart? And
That's good.
then same thing with Jeremy. You know, Jeremy would realize that there were areas that God needed to fine-tune him and mold him and shape him in our marriage. And because of that, we have been able to, like, it's like we've, again, like God used that to grow us, to make, you know, bring our intimacy back in our marriage, to give us fresh eyes for one another, to have an open line of communication. And one of the things that we've tried to do is we are praying together every night. We have a 9:30, we're in the bed, and at 9:30 is prayer time. And so it's funny, he was getting his stuff ready for work yesterday, and I was looking at him going, babe, it's 9:40, you're 10 minutes late to the prayer meeting. And he laughed, but you know, he got in bed. And so, like, we've just started doing that. We don't both pray, like, we rotate. So he prayed and I pray, and then he prayed. But it has brought us, it's gotten us to a really sweet place in marriage. And I think, just like you said, you hit the nail on the head. Marriage should be a reflection between the love that Jesus has for his church, for his people. And we are called to be ambassadors. Our lives and our marriages should reflect our King. And our marriages should not look like the rest of the world. You know, there are plenty of moments when Jeremy and I don't like each other, but we still love each other. You know, our earthly marriages are flawed, but our heavenly marriage with Christ is flawless. And the world needs to see love and respect for one another. They need to see our repentance and our forgiveness towards one another. Our kids need to see us repent and forgive each other. They need to hear mommy say, I love daddy. Do you know how much I love your daddy? Your dad, I love your daddy. And kids need to hear daddy say, do you know I love your mommy? I love your mommy. They need to see that, because that is what we are representing Christ with the church. And the world just teaches the opposite. Culture teaches the opposite of everything that you just read in those verses. The world teaches you, you know, love yourself above all things and everyone. But the Bible teaches us to love God first and to love your spouse, like love your neighbor, love our spouse as yourself. We are to love them the way that we love ourselves. And how do we love ourselves? Well, we're constantly thinking of our want, our needs, our desires, our dreams, etc., before we think of theirs. And the world tells you, yes, you do you, but that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we are to love our spouse by thinking of their wants, like you were talking about, their wants, their needs and dreams. And can you imagine if we did have a perfect world with no sin, what a marriage would actually look like if both spouses, wouldn't that be amazing? Like, loved each other the way the Bible described. But, you know, does that mean that you ignore all things you? No, not at all. I think voice your needs, voice times for rest, voice ways that you can feel more loved and respected by your spouse. Jesus definitely rested when he needed to. He definitely went to events he wanted to. He ate at feasts. He pursued a career just like his earthly father. He did plenty of things on earth that he wanted to and enjoyed. But Jesus always loved God the Father first and sought his glory and his kingdom first in all things that he did and said. And Jesus did what no one else could do by saying, not my will be done, but yours. And that was from Luke 22:42. And he died on the cross for our sins. And that is the way that we are to live our lives. And that is the type of loving servant posture that we should have towards our spouse and our neighbor.
I'm going to read 2 Corinthians from chapter 7, 8 through 13. It says, even if I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. Yet now I am happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended, and so were not harmed in any way by us. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. See what this godly sorrow has produced in you. What earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done. At every point, you have proved yourselves to be innocent in this matter. So even though I wrote to you, it was neither on account of the one who did the wrong, nor on account of the injured party, but rather that before God, you could see for yourselves how devoted to us you are. By all this, we are encouraged. In addition to our own encouragement, we were especially delighted to see how happy Titus was because his spirit has been refreshed by all of you. So Christ followers must be receptive to godly confrontation and must be ready and willing to alter their own behavior in order to grow in their relationship with Christ. I've had so many moments that I've been ashamed of my life. I've said it a few times that anger is one of the things that I've struggled with the most in my life. Most people who know me know, for the most part, I'm a pretty chill person. It takes me a lot to get me really upset, but the things that get me really mad are when people who are defenseless are getting hurt, or people I love that I feel need my protection in some way. It just gets me really fired up. And I also really struggle when there's a task that a person is expected to do that they don't do the way they should. It drives me crazy. And I feel like I have the responsibility to stick up to people and to confront issues, and the responsibility to say how I feel about someone not doing their job well. Because if I don't do it, then how are they ever going to know, you know? But my husband and I have had very frank conversations about how when I approach him sometimes and I'm frustrated, he feels very disrespected. And it's super difficult not to just come to your person with a list of all the things they need to change. But you know that both of you could do that. I know that Colby has a list of things that he could give me about all the things I need to change and that I need to do better. But that's not what it's about. You should definitely have a space for each other to be able to express your feelings and express concern. But at the same time, I do feel like it has to be out of a place of selflessness. So before you have a conversation with your spouse, really reflect and really think, why am I having this conversation? What is the goal of this conversation? What do I want to change? What am I willing to change? And have I prayed about what I'm struggling with?
Right.
Have I sought counsel in scripture and in prayer? Because if not, that's what I need to be doing first. It takes a level of self-awareness and humbling yourself and not having this attitude of what do I think I deserve, but what do I think I can give?
Yeah, I think it goes back to an episode that we did in season one titled, Am I Approachable? You know, it was just talking about how we have to be in a constant state of having a teachable spirit and a willingness to be corrected when approached. You know, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Matthew 7, 3 through 5. So, you know, we're just called to reflect on our own lives and in our own hearts what sin is there and deal with that first before we can go to a brother or a sister with any issues that we may have. And it's the same way in marriage. We must stop and reflect on our part in our marriage and areas that we can grow and change before we throw all of our grievances at our best friend and our partner for life. So, and I do think, you know, sometimes they have things that aren't fun to hear in some areas that we're like, I don't think that's a problem. But if, you know, if we love this person and we trust this person and they are our best friend, I think we should be willing to hear what they have to say and seek God. Like, if this is an area that I need to grow in, Lord, help me, you know, help me. And I do agree with everything we've talked about, especially the section, Kelsey, where you said God uses marriage to sanctify each of us. And he does. And the question is, are we willing to be sanctified by the Lord? Are we available to be sanctified for from the Lord? And are we willing to let God use our spouse as part of our sanctification process? The title of this episode is Why Do I Even Try in Marriage? And we try because God always tries with us and never stops trying. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He does love us unconditionally, and we are called to love our spouse the same. We try because love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And that's from 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8.
I love that. Tara and I have decided that we're going to go through that verse and do several episodes just kind of breaking down what that means, what that looks like. What is a love that is patient and kind look like? What is a love that does not envy or boast look like? Because it really is difficult to live out all of these things, And anytime we think about love, we see that God is love. God is the true definition of what love is. And if you fill in the blank in that verse and you can confidently say, God is patient and kind with us. He does not envy or boast. He's not arrogant or rude. All of these things, we look to God. That is how we are able to love, is because God loved us enough to send his son to die for us. Without him, we don't know how to love. We are too selfish. We do think about ourselves way too much. But when we focus on our Lord and the way he loves us and his graciousness for our lives and the things that he's given us, there are people out there who are not married because God doesn't promise us a marriage. He doesn't promise us children. He doesn't promise us any of those things. I know we've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. All of those things are a gift. And I feel so selfish how often that I'm not thankful for that gift.
Yeah, we just have to remember that no marriage is perfect. It's two flawed sinners who both need Jesus, both need grace, and both need love and respect.
Yeah.
I think there's a marriage book that Paul David Tripp wrote. We love him. We love all things Paul David Tripp.
Yes.
And it's titled, What Did I Expect? And it's about marriage. And and in the first chapter, it really talks about how, a lot of times you hear these sermons or these awesome messages, or you read something, you're like, ooh, my spouse needs to read that. And he's telling you, stop looking for things that you want your spouse to hear or that you want to change in them, and start looking at your own heart and working on your heart with the Lord. And through that sanctification process that we've talked about, how God can, by changing your heart, then impact your spouses versus they need to be fixed, So
absolutely. I think that's always a temptation when you're listening. You listen for other people a lot more than you listen for yourself, because it's so hard to look at our sin in the face and confront it, because it's hard to repent. It's hard to turn away from our sin, because we've talked about it before. Sin doesn't always look bad.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always feel bad. A lot of times sin feels good, but that doesn't mean it is good. Because we have to go off of God's standard of good, not our own standard of good.
That's right. Well, to end today's episode, we always ask a question, but I think specifically since we've talked about marriage, my question for you this week, Kelsey, is what is one character trait that Colby has that you really admire about him or appreciate?
Well, I love to joke around, and I think Colby is very funny, even though I don't always let him know that.
Yeah, you can't tell.
Because I don't want him to get a big head,
Yeah.
But no, he makes me laugh so, so much. So definitely his sense of humor. But another thing for him that I've always very much admired and very much appreciated is just his sense of calmness. Just as a human, he's a very, you can tell he's at peace within himself all the time, no matter what is going on. And I am not like that. Yeah. I'm stressed out about all this stuff all the time, and Colby's like, what's going on? Life's good. All the time. And I'm like, wait a minute, the house is on fire. So anyways, I would say that. Okay, what about Jeremy?
Oh, that's funny. You made me laugh. Jeremy is also really funny, but I can't let him know that. Yeah his head wouldn't fit through the front door. So hopefully he skips this episode. I don't know. but he is probably one of the most humble people that I have ever met. He probably is the most humble person. He does not prefer to be in the spotlight. he does not care for any recognition in any way. He just strives to live a righteous life before the Lord, and yeah, just doesn't care about recognition from anyone. And that is the total opposite of me. So our love languages clash a lot, and it's funny, but and I think he's also one of the most patient people that I've ever met. He's very patient in ways that I admire and that I desire to be patient. I'm like, Lord, work in my heart and help me be patient. And so I just really admire his patience with me and with our children and just the different seasons we've been through. I think he's just a very humble and patient man that I'm blessed to call mine.
Well,
So,
to end the episode, I'm gonna pray for us.
oh, that'd be good.
Okay.
Yes.
Father in heaven, we are just so thankful for marriage, and we are just so thankful that you have given us that gift. And Lord, I just pray that we are on guard for our marriages, Lord, for our spouses and for our own hearts, knowing that that is something that Satan wants to destroy. I pray that we cling to you, we cling to your truth, we cling to your word, Lord, even when we tell ourselves lies. Lord, I pray that we stop comparing what our spouse is doing for us. I pray that we stop making checklists. I pray that we stop pointing out all of their flaws, Lord. I pray that through your love, we are able to love our spouse unconditionally the way that Christ loved the church. I pray that we are willing to lay down our life to serve our spouses and be a reflection of the gospel to those around us, Lord. We love you. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Before we end today's episode, I would love to tell you guys about an awesome opportunity that is coming up this summer. The Gospel Coalition Women's Conference is going on this summer in Indianapolis, Indiana, June 20th through June 22nd. Guys, Kelsey and I have both been to this conference. I have been able to go at least twice. It is every other year. So on the years that are even. So it's 2024. So guess what's happening? It's happening this summer. So if you are just looking for a conference to go to that is encouraging, uplifting, refreshing, gospel-centered, and full of so much biblical teaching, you want to go to this conference. Take a group of ladies from your church. Take a friend, take a coworker, take a family member, and go have a fantastic weekend learning rich gospel-centered truths, breakout sessions, keynote speakers, shopping at the TGC bookstore where everything has such awesome discounts. And you just get to have fun with other women from all over the nation, worshiping God to an amazing worship band and just, again, fellowshipping together and growing in your faith and knowledge of the Lord and Jesus Christ. If you're interested in learning more about this conference, you can check out the link today in our show notes. And we hope to see you there.
Hey y'all, thanks for joining us today on the Sweet Tea and Jesus podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast so you can continue along on this journey with us. Please leave us a 5-star review on Apple so that others can find our podcast and be encouraged by these gospel conversations too. Also, follow us on Instagram for upcoming content, news about our podcast, and more. Thank you so much for listening, and we are looking forward to you joining us on our next episode. See y'all next time.